5:26 a.m. Central African Time on this beautiful Mubarak Friday morning on our program, As-Safina to Ilal Jannah. I want to welcome the listeners of Radio Al-Ansar International. I want to welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And of course, I want to welcome our beloved, respected, honorable Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Malala Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein Hafidhahullah, who's currently at the moment in Umslanga. Ustad, Jumma Mubarak, welcome to the Q&A. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum on Arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, our Junaid Mota, Dawood Mota, and Riyaz Mota. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. This Mubarak, blessed, honorable day of Jumu'ah, Friday, the 21st of Shawwal Mubarak, 1444. We continue with the tafsir and commentary of the noble Quran. Our starting point is Surah Ash-Shu'ara, chapter number 26, and verses 72, 73, and 74. When Brother Junaid Khan contacted me, he asked, is it raining there? I said, no, it's a wonderful, beautiful day, but we got DC direct current, AC alternate current, and ANC or and no current. So ANC and no current is load shedding. So all these big, big hotels here, I'm surrounded by all of them. Everyone's generator is on full blast. So therefore, you're hearing some sounds that where I am sitting here. So you know they have load shedding every day. So that is the system here in this world, that things, you have challenges, ups and downs, vicissitudes. Therefore, Almighty Allah created dunya and this world. And the year after, Almighty Allah created jannat, everlasting pleasure, joy, prosperity. And Jahannam, the hellfire, and that is everlasting doom and gloom. So let us come back to our lesson, chapter 26, Surah Ash-Shu'ara, chapter 26, and verses 72, 73, and 74. Nabi Ibrahim, alayhi salatu salam, Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, I mentioned to you yesterday, his name Nami Ismigrami, honorable name, is mentioned 69 times in the Noble Quran. Chapter 14 is dedicated to the mighty messenger of Almighty Allah. So he asked his father and his people, you worshipping these idols. His father used to make and carve out these idols. Call, he asked them, Hal yasma'unakum istad'un? When you call it, you worship it, then does it respond to you? Does it listen to you when you are worshipping it? O yanfa'ukum, O yadurun. Or does it cause you any benefit or any harm? So these are the rhetorical questions Abraham, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam posed to them. Story time. I went twice there to this place. It is called the Buddhist temple. Mm-hmm. Those of you who know Pumalanga, so from Lanesha, I was going to Wuchis or to Witbank, and you pass a place called Bronkerspruit. So just there is a Buddhist temple. Brother Abdul Hamid of Bronkerspruit came to fetch me. So I told him, take a turn there. Allah Ta'ala grant Brother Abdul Hamid Jannatul Firdaus. He passed away a few years ago now. So we went there, and I spoke to them, and I told them that I'm a visitor, I want to visit. So they said, fine, and so forth. So they took us, they were very, very courteous, and they had three big, big idols there, you know. So I just asked them that I want some literature. So this is an old tactic I use wherever I go. If I want to go to the Shias, I will tell them, give me some literature. The Qadianis, give me some literature. Christians, Hindus. So we have the literature from them, and then we can use it. So they gave me some literature. Then the next time I went after 2-3 years, so I told their brother, go in there, let's see what happens. So I don't know if that person, that monk, he recognized me or what. So I asked him, it was afternoon time. I told them I want to go inside to visit. They said, no, you can't visit. So I asked why. He said, no, all the gods are resting now, it's their sleeping time. I just looked at him. I said, you want to sleep or your idols and your gods want to sleep? He said, no, they want to sleep. So then I said that if they're sleeping, then who runs the world like? So you see, all of you are enlightened people. You should think properly. When you say you are worshipping gods, demigods, semigods, deities, idols, then what benefit are they causing you? What harm are they causing you? Absolutely nothing. Therefore, Abraham, Nabi Ibrahim, alayhi salatu salam, they in Urfa, in Turkey, if you go to Turkey, then you must go to that place there. He smashed all the idols to pieces and smotherings, and he left only the big one. And when they called him, he was very, very young. قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا فَتَيْ يَذْكُرُهُمْ يُقَالُوا لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. We heard he is a youngster. And they call him Abraham, Ibrahim. He did all this. When they asked him, did you do this? He said, no, as the big one. فَالْفَأَلَهُ كَبِيرُهُمْ. The big idol did it. So now ask him, why you don't ask him? So now they knew that what fools they are, that how can they be worshipping such idols? And he smashes all of them to smotherings and to pieces. And then when he told them, speak to the big one, he'll give you the answer. So that's the time they said, okay, we're going to build that big inferno and we're going to cast and throw him right into that big fire and inferno. But Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala then commanded the fire. Ya naru kuni bardaw wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Oh, you fire, you become a place of safety. You become a place of coolness for Ibrahim Khalilullah alayhi salam. So these are lessons we should learn. So when he asked them this, what answer did they give? Qalu, that we found. وَجَدْنَا أَبَاءَنَا كَذَلِكَ يَفَعَلُونَ. We found Bab Dada M. Kartahuta. We found that our forefathers were doing all these things here. They were worshipping the idols, so we decided to worship, oh human being, wherever you are, male, female, Muslim, non-Muslim, Allah Jalla wa'ala made you the masterpiece of His creation. When He Almighty Allah made you the best of the best of His creation, so why don't you worship Him alone? Why do you want to go to all these idols? Why do you want to go to Jesus and worship Him and say He is the Son of God? Remember, Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala is that Supreme Being. The third last surah, chapter 112 of the Noble Quran, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. He's not the father of anyone. He's not the child of anyone. There's none equal to him. He is وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. He's one alone and unique, and the only Khalik and Malik, the only creator of the entire universe. Here I am surrounded by the best hotels in the whole of South Africa. 5-star, 6-star, 7-star, whatever you want to call. All of them failing. Not one of them can move and run around and do anything without inverters, without solar panels, without generators. That is the human being. Everything of ours is limited. Everything of Almighty Allah is infinite and unlimited. He's the only Malik. Everything in the entire universe belongs to Him. And me and you are but temporary users. 10 people object on me and you as Muslims, they say, okay, but you are also worshipping stones and bricks and so forth. So we say, what do you mean? They say, but when you are bowing down, you are prostrating, then you are doing that there in direction of the Kaaba Musharrafa, the Baytullah, the Qibla in Makkah. We say, no, you got the wrong end of the miswak, the wrong end of the stick. You must read chapter 106, Surah Quraysh, and verse number 3, فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. You as Muslims, they must worship the Rabb, the sustainer, nourisher, owner of the Baytullah. You see, this Baytullah, one day, the tube, it will be smashed to pieces, hadith in Bukhari Sharif, by a Habashi African person. But we will still face in that direction. So it shows we are not worshipping it. We are so high up in the sky, in the plane, or there in Makkah, in the five-star hotels, that you find 20, 30, 40 stories up, and yet we are facing that direction. So we face in that direction just for unity and uniformity. When it is prayer time, the imam, the leader will say, there's 1 million, 2 million people there. Ramadan time, Hajj time. He will say, Stow, itadilu. In less than 1 minute, 1 million people are ready to pray. You show me where that can happen in any way in the world. So we don't worship that cube, that Baytullah, the Kaaba. We worship Almighty Allah alone. So therefore, in Islam, we are the only people on the face of this earth that believe in true monotheism. And that is why we invite one and all to come to the true religion, the religion of Islam, the religion of Tawheed. We believe in the oneness, uniqueness of Almighty Allah, Jalla wa Ala. So now let us go to the local news, views, interviews, and inshallah you will get many, many things that we don't know really what's going on. First one, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, our brothers of Palestine, Jazahumullahu Khaira, yesterday they sent one Israeli Jutla Jew straight to hell. And remember, 8 of them were injured. And you know where this happened? In Tel Aviv. That is their real capital. Jerusalem is just there, to understand, to steal and occupy more land and so forth. So you must remember the Palestinians, 29 are shuhada and martyrs. So Muslims, we embrace that. We wait for it. But for the Jutla, you must remember, and the Zionists and the Jew, this is psychological warfare. When they see the rockets coming in and their iron dome cannot intercept it, then they know it's time to pack up. Let us take out our second passport and we better move from here. These people, not even an army. There they don't even have much resources. But they're sending rockets right into, deep into Tel Aviv. So then you must know the Jutla is the person who fears death the most. وَلَيَّتَمَنَّوْنَهُ أَبَدًا بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ. Go read Suratul Jumu'ah on this Friday, the chapter on Friday, and go see what Almighty Allah Jalla Wala states, chapter 62, verse number 7. They never ever want to die, the Jutla, the Harami, because they know what actions they did, the baby killers, the killers of prophets and messengers, and how they did, distorted and interpolated their divine scriptures and books and so forth. So therefore, they never look forward to death. IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, refuses to investigate those looters who looted Huwara. You remember Huwara? The settlers came. They burned all the cars that were there of the Palestinians. They looted their shops and houses. This harami, democratic, apartheid, terrorist, Nazi, Hitler's children, they say they're not going to investigate. So that is what they do. Smotrich said, we must wipe the whole Huwara out. So therefore, the Haaretz newspaper carried the article, Smotrich is a war criminal. And you must remember, Ihtimar Ben Gvir, another harami, another real terrorist. Israeli court found him guilty of, you must remember, terrorism. He wants to kill more and more Palestinians. So these are the haramis and the real terrorists. And remember that you must go there and then you will know what real apartheid is. Erdogan is our man. Yes, he's not perfect, but remember he's trying. So on the 14th, the Sunday's elections in Turkey, So now the Israeli press, now they realize that maybe Erdogan will win a third term. So they calling him the magician Erdogan. They hate his guts. America hates his guts because he speaks of Islam and he tells the ulama, you must teach more Quran. You must open more madaris and Islamic schools. You and our masajid, everything must be open. So this they cannot stomach. They want these communists and secularists to run Turkey so that they can remove and turn the people away from Islam. India, crude oil, and they buying, purchasing from Russia. It has increased tenfold, remember that. India can buy more and more oil and so forth from Russia, and there's no problem. But if Pakistan wants to buy, it becomes a problem for the West. That is always the double standards you will see. You must always juxtapose it, compare it, that this country can do that. Israel can have 200, 300, 400 nuclear. Iran can't have one nuclear. You see everywhere the double standards of the whitey, the white hegemony, the white man. So now in Imran Khan, the Supreme Court of Pakistan has said he must be released immediately. But you know the Pakistani army is the most powerful. So this is, they take their instructions from America and everybody else because they get paid millions and so forth. So Imran Khan will definitely win the elections. But remember, Pakistan is burning and there's so many people in jail. A sad, sad case, remember. Why? Because why do you have nuclear? So that is the biggest problem, you must remember that. So thereafter we go now Iran. Iran's trade with the BRICS countries is increasing. China, Russia, and India, and whoever else. And Afghanistan and 25 countries are going to join BRICS very soon. So all these Arab countries, Saudi Arabia, and then you got Algeria and all this oil bloc, most of them want to join there. So we should remember this. China made a nice claim, and I agree with you, Chinese. They said the USA, United States of America, should be put in the dock. They should be questioned about Guantanamo Bay. They, about the torture they carried out. They should be questioned about the murder of over 1 million people in Iraq. And 500,000 children they murdered and killed in Iraq. They should be questioned about how many thousand people they killed in Afghanistan, civilians. So they should be called to the dock, not only Putin. So this is again the white man's hegemony, remember that. And there, remember you Capetonians, your RC is coming today to Cape Town and your program is starting. You must ask him in public to answer these three questions. All three things are there in Khomeini's books. And I have these books. In Tawdihul Masail, Khomeini, the Kafir, the non-Muslim, La'anahullah states that you can make muta prostitution for 1 hour. What is your answer, O RC? Don't answer a question with a question. Answer the question. We're asking you a question. Here's the book here from Khomeini, La'anahullah. Allah's curse be on you. Khomeini writes, after you make mut'a and prostitution, in Zubdatul Ahkam, وَلَا تَوَارُثَ بَيْنَهُمَا وَلَا إِدَّةَ عَلَيْهَا. There is no inheritance amongst them, and then between them, and there is no iddat and waiting period for that lady. So 100% prostitution. Third one, remember in Tahrirul Wasila, he writes, Khomeini la'anahullah, that you can commit bestiality with that camel, with that cow, with that goat, with that sheep, and so forth. And then you can burn it, or otherwise you don't want to burn it, you must sell it to another town, another place. Tahrirul Wasila. All this written in Khomeini's books. You tell me these people are Muslim. Let me give you an open fatwa. 100% kuffar, and anybody agrees with this, you also kuffar and out of the fold of Islam. So that is the issue. Then we come back to our South Africa. I told you we're running a circus with trapeze artists. So remember there's a revolving door there in Johannesburg. This mayor comes and that mayor goes. This mayor comes and this new mayor is not even in his post for 1, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. He's already charged with fraud charges. Can you believe that? So you must remember we have become the laughing stock of the world, and remember that is more, it's even said, you know, when it's supposed to be a Muslim party, because he's a candidate for the Al-Jama'ah party. So see where we are heading now. Sad, sad state of affairs. Yesterday, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, we were there in Spingo Hills, and the Maulana Mullah and Maulana Bayat and my brother Hafiz Wadi, who is the coordinator of all these programs. Allah Ta'ala reward all of you, the trustees, wonderful program. These Maulanas kept me there for 1 hour yesterday and asking questions and so forth. So Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, all might Allah reward them all. Today our program is, inshallah, first program after Fajr will be here in the Musalla where I go for Fajr. And then, inshallah, at 11:15, 11:16, Sheikh Yasir Tawsari's khutbah and sermon from Makkah. We will listen to that and the Salat and then the translation and dua. And then the Jummah Salat, inshallah, opposite the Markaz Sahaba Studios, there in Brennan Road, the Sufi Masjid, where Hafiz Uwais is Sufi. Allah Ta'ala reward him, his parents and family. And then, inshallah, Aziz, tonight will be in Masjid Mahmood, the Badats, Maulana Badats, day after Isha, 7:15 is Jama'ah, inshallah. And then 7:35, 7:40, the program will start till 9 o'clock, inshallah, Aziz. Ji, Maulana. Hello.
Hey.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Ji, Ustad.
Hello.
Ustad, can you hear me, Ustad?
Hello.
Ustad, can you hear me?
I can't hear you.
Ustad, can you hear me, Ustad?
Now I can hear you. Speak louder. The generators are blasting full here.
Okay, Ustad. Okay, Ustad. Ustad, there's a question here says that can my mother go for Hajj with only a group of ladies as my dad is late? Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. For a Muslim lady to go for Hajj, there are certain conditions. Either she goes with her husband or either she goes with a mahram, her maharim. Maharim means those men can never marry that lady can never ever, nor now nor in the future, marry him. For example, her father, her brother, her son, her nephew, and so forth and so on. So there's ijma and consensus among all the scholars and jurors of Islam that for a lady to go for Umrah, like nowadays in Shawwal, Zulqa'dah, that is absolutely haram and unlawful for a lady to go for with a group of ladies for Umrah, the minor pilgrimage. Second one, to go for a Nafil, voluntary pilgrimage and Hajj. So remember, that also is totally haram, unlawful. When it comes to a Farz Hajj, a compulsory Hajj, Hajj is compulsory upon you, my sister, and now your husband has passed away. But where are your sons? Where are your brothers? Where are your uncles? So anyway, let's say you they're not available or they don't have the means or whatever you. So then the Malikis and the Shafi'i jurors, they say as a last resort, provided that it is a Farz Hajj, not a voluntary Hajj, not Umrah, a Farz compulsory mandatory Hajj and pilgrimage, then according to the Shafi'is, Malikis, then you can proceed for the Hajj, remember that, with a group of ladies. They say Jama'atun Nisa Ithiqat, provided that those ladies are reliable and trustworthy. Then you get the Hanafis and the Hanbalis, they say no. Even in that case, you cannot go for the Hajj, even though it is something compulsory. So that lady there must not go for Hajj. She must write in a will and last testament and leave the 100,000 or 150,000. That this somebody must make Hajj anil ghair, Hajj badal, what our people call. So somebody will perform the Hajj on her behalf. So that is the fatwa of the Hanafis and the Hanbali scholars and Shafi'is and Maliki say that if it is a Farz Hajj, then she can go with a group of ladies.
Ustad, I've got breaking news from our beloved brother Ibrahim Anderson. He says, Assalamu alaikum, just as Moses had Fir'aun, honestly speaking, the bishop was my Fir'aun. At least my Fir'aun called me to visit him, so I did. Indeed, the most successful are those who have been guided and favored by their creator to the truth, and blessed are those who accept the truth, the walk by it, practice it, and call others to practice it. Muftisab, finally, my Fir'aun wants to take Shahada. and become my brother in the oneness of Allah. He has finally denounced his bishophood, and he is ready and waiting for you to help him to take his shahada. Indeed, success is in deen, and the only deen is Islam. His name is Charles. Charles Iganesia. He has chosen the name Umar. Kindly help us with shahada. Allahu Akbar. Over to you, Ustad.
MashaAllah, my brother Ibrahim Anderson, you bring tears to our eyes on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. Allah Jalla Wala has selected you to become the roving ambassador of Islam. 2-3 days ago, 7 brothers embraced Islam. Then day for yesterday, 4 sisters. Today, a bishop is embracing Islam. And mashallah, he chose the name Umar. Wama adraka man Umar. Do you know who's Umar, my brother? He is the second greatest person to walk on this earth after all the prophets and messengers. And then Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, radiallahu anh, then Sayyidina Umar Farooq, radiallahu anh. And I was telling you about the Kufar Shias. The Shias hate Sayyidina Umar so much. The person who murdered and martyred Sayyidina Umar, Fayruz Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi, you must ask Asi this question. In Kashan, they have a shrine built for the murderer of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and they call it Shuja'uddin. You did something very brave. My brother Umar, you're going to read after me, and Allah Jalla Wala bless you. And remember, there are thousands of people across the globe listening to us now, and everyone is making dua and supplicating to Almighty Allah for you as well and for all of us. So read, my brother Umar and brother Ibrahim Anderson. Barakallahu feekum. Allah reward you fi dunya wal akhirah, in this world and the year after. Brother Umar, read. Ashhadu. Ashhadu. Allah. Allah. Ilaha. Ilaha. Illallahu. Illallahu. Wa ashhadu. Wa ashhadu. Anna. Anna. Muhammadan, Muhammadan, abduhu, abduhu, wa rasuluh, wa rasuluh. You are a Muslim now, my brother Umar, and you must read this from the inner recesses of your heart. And inshallah, my brother Ibrahim Anderson will meet me today, either at here, at Glennon Road Masjid, or in Clare Estate, or tomorrow in the Hajj Seminar. So you can come with him, inshallah, we meet. And you now, we're going to read the translation and you repeat after me. You are my brother Umar. I bear witness that truly, there is none worthy of worship, but Almighty Allah. And I also bear witness that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. We say in Arabic, Mustafa, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nevertheless, you will learn all that. Was, is, will always be. The last and the final. Prophet and messenger of Almighty Allah. You are Muslim, my brother Umar. You were a bishop, no more now. Now you're Muslim. So I want you, because you have studied so many books, I want you to refer and go to the Quran, chapter 8, Surah Anfal, verse 38. قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِيَّنْتَهُ يُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفَ. When a person embraces Islam, Allah announces that his sins of the past are forgiven. So all the sins are forgiven. You're like a newborn baby, my brother Umar. Habibuna Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and the hadith is authentic in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, Innal Islama yahdimu ma kana qabla. Islam has erased and expunged all the sins of the past. Oh, you pastor who were cursing Ibrahim Anderson yesterday. Do you see what you did now, pastor? The more you're going to curse, the more Islam will spread. Remember that we are not. I'm here sitting in Umslanga, and I'm right by the ocean here. So you see, pastor, that on top is the bubble and the foam. So that is the sign of falsehood that disappears. We are the water. وَأَمَّا مَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ. Take the water of Islam and spread it throughout the whole world. O Muslim, O Muslimah, become the true ambassador of Islam. Allah, my brother, Allah. Dr. Junaid RB is here with his smart BMW, be my wife. But now he got wife. So, mashallah. So, anyway, that inshallah, that we carry on with the program at 6 o'clock, inshallah.
Ustaz, I've got a new listener by the name of Olivia, Sister Olivia. She says, what are the main causes of the Israel-Palestine conflict? Olivia, Ustaz.
Olivia, the main reason is after World War II, when Hitler sorted out the Jutlas, the Haramis, because they were promoting homosexuality, they were promoting, remember, the pornography, they were charging the Germans exorbitant rates of interest, and he wanted them out from Europe and so forth, so the people were sympathetic to them. So then they said, okay, you come here. That also on fraudulent grounds. They offered them Argentina, they said no. They offered them portions in Africa, Uganda, Ethiopia, they said no. Then they lied, and this was a big lie of Zionism. They said, we are the people without a land. That is the Jutlas, the Haramis, and the Zionists. And we want to go to the land without the people. But the people were there, the Palestinians were there, hundreds of thousands of them. But by hook or by crook, you see how they murder children. Now the Western powers, Germany, Switzerland, other countries are shocked how Israel is murdering and killing children. But go and read in 47 what they did. You had the Haganah gang, you had the Stern gang, you had the Irgun gang. They commit massacre upon massacre upon massacre upon the Palestinians. And you must remember that in 48, 14th of May, then the Israeli apartheid terrorist Nazi regime came into existence. And remember this, in that way there, that is how they came into existence. They stole and occupied the land of Palestine, and occupation is terrorism. Therefore, we say the only solution is jihad. Sister Olivia, to give you analogy and example, so remember that we will say, Allah forbid, God forbid, somebody comes to your house, my house, with the AK-47. They steal your house and say, let us now negotiate the outbuilding. What will you do? Obviously, you will defend yourself. So therefore, we say every person who served in the army or every person who's in uniform is a legitimate target there in Israel. So remember, they got no rights at all. If Europe killed you, Germany killed you, no Muslim killed you. So what, you want to come steal our land and so forth? And the biggest problem in this are the Arab temple dictators, Haramis. If you don't know what the meaning of Harami, it means a bee. And not the ordinary bee, a very big bee. So you must remember that the Saudi Arabia, your United Arab Emirates, this Egypt, Jordan, Morocco, Bahrain, all these are the biggest traitors and non-Muslims as far as their governments go. They are protecting Israel. And you Muslims, you should make dua. Allahumma alayka bil yahudi zalimin al-muhtalin al-ghasibin wa man wa'alahum. Ya Allah, you decimate the apartheid terrorist Nazi regime and those who are making peace treaties with them. Last question.
Ustad, somebody wants to know that what can we read to go into labor? Ustad, to go into labor easy, Ustad.
There are two things all you sisters should be reading. Whilst you are pregnant, then read chapter 37, verse 100, Surah Safat. You know Surah Yasin is chapter 36. So the surah after that, Surah Safat, chapter 37, verse 100, Rabbi Habli Minas Salihin. Read, Ya Allah, bless me with pious, pious offspring and children, the dua supplication of Nabi Ibrahim a.s. And when you write in the last, last portion of your pregnancy, then read chapter 21, verse 30. أَوَلَمْ يَرَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ كَانَتَا رَتْقًا. Don't you look at the heavens and the earth? Allah Ta'ala made it, joined it together. Then, فَفَتَّقْنَاهُمَا. Allah Ta'ala separated it. So you, the fetus and the mother, you are joined together. فَفَتَّقْنَاهُمَا. So everything will be done with ease. Chapter 21, verse 30. So remember, inshallah, 8:30 to 9 today will be Mufti Aku. 11:15 we go to Makkah. And then 12:10, I'll be there, inshallah, in Benin Road for the Jumu'ah. 7:15 tonight, inshallah, Masjid Mahmood in Clear Estate. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.